Chapter 2. We all labor against our own cure, for death is the cure of all diseases. Sir Thomas Browne. When Tana was 6, vampires were Muppets, endlessly counting, or cartoon villains in black cloaks with red polyester linings. Kids would dress up like vampires on Halloween, wearing plastic teeth that fitted badly over their own, and smearing their faces with sweet syrup to make mock rivulets of cherry bright blood. That all changed with Casper Morales. There had been plenty of books and films romanticizing vampires over the last century. It was only a matter of time before a vampire started romanticizing himself. Crazy, romantic Casper decided that unlike decades of ancient, hidebound vampires, he wouldn't kill his victims. He would seduce them, drink a little blood, and then move on, from city to city. By the time the old vampires caught up with him and ripped him to pieces, he'd already infected hundreds of people. And those new vampires, with no idea how to prevent the spread, infected thousands. The first outbreak happened in Casper's birthplace, the smallest city of Springfield, Massachusetts, around the time Tana turned 7. Springfield was only 50 miles from her house, so it was in the local news before it went national. Initially, it seemed like a journalist's prank. Then there was another outbreak in Chicago, and another in San Francisco, and another in Las Vegas. A girl, caught trying to bite a blackjack dealer, burst into flame as cops dragged her out of a casino to their squad car. A businessman was found holed up in his penthouse apartment, surrounded by gnawed corpses. A child stood at Fisherman's Wharf on a foggy night, reaching up her arms to any adult who offered to help find her father, just before she sank her teeth into their throats. A burlesque dancer introduced blood play into her act and required audience members to sign waivers before attending her performances. When they left hungry. The military put up barricades around the areas of the cities where the infections broke out. That was the way the first cold towns were founded. Vampirism is an American problem, the BBC declared. But the next outbreak was in Hong Kong, then Yokohama, then Marseille, then Brecht, then Liverpool. After that, it spread across Europe like wildfire. At 10, Tana watched her mother sit at her mirrored vanity and get ready to go to the party of an art buyer, intent on lending her gallery a few pieces. She had on a pencil skirt with an emerald-colored silk shell top, her short black hair gelled tightly back. She was fastening on a pair of pearl drop earrings. "Aren't you afraid of the vampires?" Tana had asked, leaning bonelessly against her mother's leg, feeling the scratch of tights against her cheek and inhaling the smell of her mother's perfume. Usually, both of her parents were home before dark. Tana's mother had just laughed, but she came back from the party sick. Cold, they called it, which at first sounded harmless, like the kind of cold that gave you the sniffles and a sore throat. But this was another kind of cold, one where body temperatures dropped, senses spiked, and the craving for blood became almost overwhelming. If one of the people who'd gone cold drank human blood, the infection mutated. It killed the host and then raised them back up again, colder than before. Cold through and through, forever and ever. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there was only one cure. The victim had to be kept from drinking human blood until the infection was flushed out of the system, which could take up to 88 days. No clinic provided such a service. In the beginning, hospitals had heavily sedated cold patients until a middle-aged and very wealthy woman came out of her medically induced coma to attack a doctor. Some people managed to take the edge off the craving for blood with booze or drugs. Nothing worked for others. But if the police found out about a potential case of infection, that person would be quarantined and relocated to a cold town. Tana's mother was terrified. And so, 2 days in, once the shakes had gotten bad enough and the hunger came on, she agreed to be locked up in the only part of the house that would hold her. Tana remembered the screams rising from the basement a week later. Screams that went on all day long, while her father was at work, and then all through.